I'm glad to see you all here tonight. As you can see, I'm going to be continuing the series of studies that me and David started a while back, our study in the book of Psalms. It's been a little while, but I hope that what I have to present to you tonight is going to be beneficial to you. As you can see, we're going to be studying Psalms chapter 16 tonight. So the chapter setting for Psalm 16. The chapter title tells us that this was a song of David, and it says that it is a miktam. And when you look at the definition of that word, it is an engraving, which is specifically a poem. So this psalm that we read about is defined as a poem to us. We couldn't really see any specific circumstance that this seemed to be written under during David's life, but going through looking at the verse text, as well as a verse that quotes this Psalms, Acts 13, 35, 37, which we'll read in a moment, this chapter is referring to the resurrection of Christ. So, Acts 13, 35 through 37, it says, "Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." This chapter here, these verses are directly quoting Psalms 16, verse 10, which says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Now, one quick thing before we move on. The reason the writer here saw fit to explain that this wasn't talking about David, it was a common conception that David was writing about himself here in this psalm, that he was going to be the Messiah. And it was a common thought during the time of the Jews that David was going to come back and be the Messiah. But they used this Psalm chapter 16 to say, you know, David served his time, but he still laid down with the fathers. But there was one that came back and saw no corruption. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to be comparing David's life and the things that David talks about in this psalm to the life of Christ. So, we have this chart here. And we're going to go through and talk about each of these points specifically. But we have on the left here, David, and on the right, Jesus. We have, just right quick, the relationship of the person to God. To David, it was his Lord. God was his Lord. But to Jesus, he was his Father. Both delighted in the saints, as you can see, and both had a good inheritance described by this psalm. Both had the Lord as their guide. But as well, down here, you see that David had a hope for resurrection, whereas Jesus was the resurrection. So let's go ahead and hop into the psalm here. Not yet. Acts 2, 22 through 27, as well as verses 29 and 34 through 35, says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Quoting another psalm here, Psalms 110, prophesying about Christ. Once again, we see another account where they're driving forward that this psalm is not speaking about David himself, but the Messiah that is to come. Because, as he mentioned in verse 29, David is dead and buried. He's not ascended into the heavens. But this one, this Christ, who was approved among you by miracles and signs, did. Now, Psalm 16, 1 through 7 says, Mictum of David, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. So if you look at verse 1 here, we see that throughout this whole psalm, we see this aspect of trust that is had. Just like here in verse 1, it says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. You know, this applies to David, whereas David had this promise as he went through his life. David was promised that he would be preserved and his seed would go on because of his seed the Messiah would come. And so he trusted in God that he would be saved throughout all the tribulations of his life, through his son's rebellion, through the tribulation he faced with Saul, and the Philistines. Jesus trusted in God to do what he had promised. There was a plan set out ahead of time that Jesus knew was going to be followed. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We have to trust in God to do what he's told us he's going to do. He's set forth a plan that we are to follow, and we have to trust him that he's going to follow that plan that he laid out. He's not going to go over here and change it a little bit now over here and maybe a little bit over there. He's laid out a plan, and he's going to follow it. Psalm 16, verse 2 says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. This is as simple as it sounds, that David had that dependence on the Lord just like we do. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Just like a plant needs the base of that body, we need Jesus. Just like a plant needs its roots to absorb nutrients. The branches are nothing without the trunk of the tree. Just like we are nothing without Jesus. Just like David depended on God. There we go. A love for the saints. Psalm 16, verses 3 and 4. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. You know, in David's case, he had a love for the saints. We read that he was a man of God's own heart, and if you look at his friendships throughout his story, you'll see that, such as Jonathan. And that was his relationship with the saints. He was a friend to all, as we see in Psalms 119:63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. David was a friend to all that believed in God and followed God's word. But Christ, he has a love for the saints as well, as we know. But his love is that of being our Savior. He loved us enough to come to this world and die for us. To endure the cross and take on our sins. And he loved us enough to do that. Verses 5 through 7 of Psalm 16. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. You know, both Jesus and David had a good inheritance. Now, both of those were extremely, well, not extremely, but different in their nature. David had a hope for his inheritance. He had an inheritance not only on this earth of inheriting kingship, but also in the life to come. Christ's inheritance was to sit at the right hand of God and be in God's presence for all of eternity. Let's read Romans 8, 16 through 17. It says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." This was the inheritance that David has, that we have, to be joint heirs in the inheritance that Christ has, that inheritance in heaven. Because it's not just ours. Christ gave us that inheritance when he died on the cross for that. We are joint heirs with Christ in that glory. Psalms 16, 8 through 11 says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." So let's read verse 8 of that again. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not move." This referring mainly to Christ ascending to the right hand of God. Throughout this psalm, there are parts that talk a little bit to David, but the whole thing is speaking of Jesus. But this is a part that's speaking specifically of Jesus. Mark 16, verse 19 says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God." So that is what this verse is speaking of prophetically. Psalms 16, verse 9. "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Now here David speaking, he had this hope. He didn't know that once he died he was going to be resurrection. He had a promise of that, but he didn't know. But he trusted in God to do that. He said, "My flesh shall rest in hope." Now we have to trust God, like I mentioned earlier, to do what he said he's going to do. We don't know that, but we have to believe that he did. When Jesus died and was crucified, he trusted in God to do what he had said to do as well, but for a different reason. He knew that that was the plan that was set out, and these were the steps that were going to happen. He was going to be captured, put on the cross, die for our sins, be buried, and resurrected for our sins. He knew that that was the plan, and he trusted in God to complete that plan. But we have to have the faith in God to follow those steps that he has laid out. We don't know that that's going to happen, but we have to have the faith to believe that. Psalm 16, verse 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Speaking of Jesus here on the resurrection, he didn't allow Christ's body to see that corruption. He didn't let him stay dead. He followed through with that plan that he had laid forth. Verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hands are pleasure forevermore." This is that inheritance that we have to look forward to, that path of life. David had faith in God to show it to him, and we have that hope as well, that to inherit that. So if we look back at our chart here, we see that David's relationship with God was, he was his Lord, just like he is our Lord. To Jesus, God was his Father. They both had a delight in the saints, just as we should, Jesus being the Savior to them and loving them enough to come and die on the cross for our sins. But David being a friend to all who would love and worship God. They both had the inheritance, our inheritance, through Jesus, who ascended to the right hand of God after he was crucified. And we are joint heirs in that same inheritance that Christ has. Both let the Lord guide their way and followed his commandments in what they did. Jesus, when he followed the steps to the cross, and David in fulfilling God's will. And Jesus was resurrected after he had fulfilled that plan. But we have a hope for a resurrection if we follow those plans. There is that path of life which is set before us if we follow steps that were laid out for us. So tonight I want to ask you a question. Have you followed the steps that God has laid out? Do you have that hope of a resurrection? And if not, I'd advise you to change that. Or maybe you have taken those steps, but you've fallen off the path somewhere along the way and would like the prayers of the church. If there be one of either case, please come and sit on the front pew while we stand and sing.